Welcome to the Stuff and Junk Show, where we share our opinions on random subjects from interesting news, social topics, pop culture, our likes and dislikes, things you've seen, heard, or read, or we did, and what we do. You know, stuff and junk. Hello, my name is Albert, and I am here at WonderCon Anaheim 2025 with our friend Derek.
Hello, all you stuff and junkers.
Stuff and junkers. So, I mean, it's a really quick show, like very casual kind of thing. But as usual, I introduce Derek here, and then I'm going to segue to interviews with David Glasser.
Let's do it.
And then afterwards, I have another interview with Joni Brosas. So we'll be right back. It is WonderCon 2025 in Anaheim. And without any surprise, I do have an interview here with David Glasser, the Chief Communications and Strategies Officer, unless that's changed.
No, it's still the same.
It's still that one. Now, I think we said this last year in WonderCon, where WonderCon is the quieter version of Comic-Con. It's like, I would call it Comic-Con late 90s, early 2000s. Is how I describe it.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. I think, you know, WonderCon, I think we've mentioned this before, started in the Bay Area and always had a more casual vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's stayed even down here in Anaheim. And We hear that from people who say it's great to be able to attend panels and do all the stuff that they would normally do, but in a less frantic environment.
Absolutely. And speaking of less frantic, our conversation at the Comic-Con usually involves a lot of complaints, a lot of issues with here and there, because so many people, more complaints show up. WonderCon, there isn't much. In fact, going into this interview, I was like, what am I going to talk about? Because everybody's just happy, you know, they're just doing their business, and there isn't really much anything to talk about. So I had to like really pick and choose, like, okay, let me look online and see if anybody's saying anything really about that. One of the things is badge shipment. A lot of people I know never got their badges in the mail, which was kind of like the thing that they were hoping. But was there any percentage of the people who did or did not get badges?
There's a deadline. After a certain period of time, they can't ship the badges out because they may not make it in time. So I know that's an issue. I'll look into that. I really don't know firsthand. But that's... I think that's probably a little less of an issue at Comic-Con.
Right.
Because I think people are so used to how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll definitely look into that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an issue. I have no problem showing up and just picking it up.
And maybe we just need to be more clear about the deadlines and what will be. And sometimes I think, I know we had issues with international shipping too. So I'll look into that.
And regarding badges, the one comment I did see is that some people were saying, like, let's go back to the more fancier badge kind of thing, not just a paper thing that's folded and whatnot. Any plans in the future for that kind of situation?
If we can find sponsors for it, we would. The reality is there's a lot of expense into doing a badge. You have to make a badge that isn't easy to duplicate.
Right.
A badge that can, you know, the heavier the badge, the more it costs to produce. If you ship those, the more it costs to ship because of the weight. There are all these different factors that, you know, I don't think people often consider, but if we can find, you know, a sponsor who can help us defray some of that cost, then absolutely, I think we'd love to. We'd love to have like really high end badges and all that. We do what we can within budgets without having to raise ticket prices again for so much,
right,
you know, for whatever it happens to be.
Yeah, that will have to happen if you get fancier badges and whatnot. But because we live now in a culture of collectors, so many collectors, and they're like, they want to have the fancy badges. Display and all that stuff.
No, I get it.
We understand.
Yeah, I still have all my badges hanging, you know, at my door in my office.
Now, I do like the fact that there seems to be more food trucks. True or false? Have you noticed that?
I think there are. That is really the Anaheim, I believe it's Convention Center along with Visit Anaheim, which is their travel and tourism authority.
Right.
Visit Anaheim is really great to work with. They're very supportive. I believe they're the ones who handle, you know, the food trucks that come. And it's always a great diversity out there. And this year, some of them were open on Thursday, which we didn't know. You know, we're here working on Thursday. The show opens on Friday. And somebody was all, oh, you know, I don't think any of the food trucks are here, but they're setting up. Well, we're probably setting up for tomorrow. And then when we left, you know, at the end of the day, we're like, oh, they are selling. I wish we would have known.
Nice.
So, and there's some good food trucks out there, yeah.
Yeah, my only word for them is maybe find more tables for people to sit in. I mean, I understand there's spacing is an issue. I don't know if there's a thing that Anaheim could cooperate with one of the local hotels, like have a sign, hey, go over here if you want table to sit down.
Yeah, I don't know how it is in Anaheim either. I know in San Diego for a period of time, especially during COVID, there was a lot of outdoor seating that needs special permits. But there was also a lot of food trucks who were able to park wherever. And I think the issue in San Diego was a lot of businesses didn't want people from using their facilities if they weren't buying food or stuff from their restaurant. I don't know if that's the case here. So I don't know. You know, all the hotels have their own grab and goes and restaurants. So I don't know if there's an issue there. I really don't know. But that's something to look into as well.
And I noticed here in my notes here, the other item is also not really WonderCon related, but ACC related. The fountain that was usually outside the building. Oddly enough, people love that fountain for their cosplay pictures. And online, people are saying like, oh, it's gone. What are they doing? It's gone.
Yeah, we found out about that. The fountain has always been a really great gathering place. Mm-hmm. It's great for photographs. I've still seen a lot of people there. I've also seen a lot of people taking pictures just all around. But that was something that was unfortunate. Also, one of the hotels is in the middle of doing a renovation.
Okay.
So some of their elevator banks aren't all working. And, you know, that can be a little frustrating, too, when you have everybody coming back from the convention trying to get to the rooms. But, you know, the people that come at WonderCon are really pretty resilient. You know, I think they kind of, you know, go with the flow, as it were, and they're not happy necessarily, but there's not a lot of complaining. Again, it's a very relaxed vibe.
Absolutely. Has ACC given you any heads up about any possible changes to the convention?
Or no, nothing that, you know, we just actually, I think we signed a 3-year agreement extension.
Okay.
So I think we used to be year to year or maybe every couple of years. So we signed, we'll be here for at least 3 years.
Okay.
So, they've been great to work with.
Last issue. Curious question. Over at North 200A, there's a section of seats that are screened off. Is there a reason for that?
I don't know, unless they're just trying to make the room smaller. I had a panel in one of the north rooms and noticed that it was screened off as well. I think that is to create a lot of, I'm not familiar with the building here as well as I am in San Diego. A lot of buildings, they call air walls. They have air walls where you can cut a room in half or in fourths or whatever. I don't know if that room has that capability or if it does, maybe it's still too large. And I believe that's why the curtains were up. Because I had a panel for the cruise in one of those rooms. And I noticed that it was cordoned off as well.
Okay. Speaking of other things that Comic-Con is doing. Comic-Con, I'm not sure if I pronounced it correctly, Malaga?
Yeah, Malaga. Yep.
Malaga.
In Spain, yeah.
What can you tell me about that? A con that I'm never going to be able to go to.
Well, you know what? So I think one of the interesting things about Malaga is it's a great city. It's right on the water. It's reminiscent of San Diego in a lot of ways because of that. They're artistic. They're very, very focused on arts. But about maybe 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, we were contacted by some people who were interested in having a convention, Comic-Con in Spain. And, we started talking. We're approached not a lot, but every once in a while. And we really do a due diligence of trying to make sure what is it that you want, why is it you want to do this, and what is it that you hope to expect. Mm-hmm. And for us, the most important thing, how will it benefit the fans? And they really were prepared for our questions. And they came to San Diego and looked at how we did stuff. We went to Spain and looked at their facilities and all that. We had, you know, some great, great dialogue. And we thought, you know what? I think we think they can pull this off. They have a great deal of support. In addition to Dentsu, which is the company that basically is putting this on, they have a buy-in from the city of Malaga and also from the, it's called an autonomous region of Andalusia, which is, we would kind of think of it as like a state or something, but it's its own authority. They have a president and stuff like that. And the president was at the press reveal and the mayor, and it was really, really, really nice. And you know, my fingers are crossed for a really terrific show.
So is this a licensed convention for Comic-Con?
It's a license, Wow, okay. And we're pretty involved in terms of, you know, giving them advice on, you know, what works and what doesn't. And they also run stuff by us, you know, what do you think of this? And for the most part, I don't think we've said no to much of anything. They really are trying to duplicate the feel of the fan experience in San Diego. And so far, you know, I mean, the first show is in the end of September of this year. So we'll see how it goes. We're very excited. And we've heard from a lot of people who are excited about the event as well, who are in Europe. So I hope it'll be a great success for them and for everybody.
Will you be going?
I will be. Yeah. I look forward to that. Yeah.
You know, this is like the situation with Disneyland and Tokyo Disney, because Tokyo Disney is a licensed park.
Right.
You know, so
isn't also Paris Disney also?
I think that one was actually the company's.
The company owns it.
I think Tokyo Disney is the only one. Yeah. From my understanding, Tokyo Disney is the only one that's licensed.
But I also understand that Tokyo Disney really understands the brand. Absolutely. And has done a really good job. And I think that's the thing. You know, you always have to be careful with the brand because it is who you are.
Right.
And you never want to have something that reflects badly on that. I think the team at Malaga completely understand that. And, you know, I have my fingers crossed that'll be pretty good. You know, several years ago, probably 10 years or so, we were approached by another country, and they really wanted to have an event there. And again, we had negotiations, and I did a site inspection, and they really had their stuff together. And one of the things they had said was, you know, they were talking to some other conventions, thinking they were us. And they said the what they really liked was that San Diego seemed to have, and maybe because we're nonprofit, San Diego seemed to really have the fan experience as what drove things. It wasn't necessarily the profit margin or things of that nature. And so I, you know, that's a good thing, but it means that, you know, you have to be careful of how you monetize profits, right? You can't, it's not just a money-making venture. It really has to be something that is worthy of the brand and that fans want to come back to. You know, when Comic-Con started, it was a small group of people, and each year it kept growing and growing, and we've outgrown the convention center. So I don't know if that'll happen in Malaga, but, you know, if it does, that would be fantastic, too.
That is the one thing I really love about your organization, Comic-Con International, is that it is for the fans. It's not for the profit.
Right.
Which a lot of conventions are kind of for the profit.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I had some friends at who were in management for some of the other conventions, and it's just a different operating procedure. And also, it's not cheap to do these conventions.
Of course, yeah.
So I completely understand the for-profit companies who really do have to look at what they have, and they have to make sure they can monetize in such a way that it continues to make a profit so they continue to produce the show. You know, our being nonprofit, you know, our mission is really what guides us. Of course, we never want to lose money, so we have to try to cut corners where we can or expenditures. But we never want that to affect the attendee experience.
Okay. So normally at the end of the interview, I have like a fun question for David. This time around, I'm mixing it up.
Uh-oh.
WonderCon plus fun question. Mm-hmm. So you may not have noticed it, but the most popular cosplay that I've seen around is for the video game Marvel Rivals. It's pretty much Marvel characters with costumes that are specifically for that video game. So my question is, do you play video games?
I wish I did. I got to tell you, I played video games back before I'm sure many of your listeners were even born. We used to have video arcades where you could go and play any number of video games. There's a couple of video games. I have an Xbox. There's a couple of video games that I do play. I'm really horrible at it. But one of the things that I've seen in the last few years is just how they've exploded.
Right.
And I think that is something that is, it doesn't surprise me that the cosplay is really big with that, because it's bringing people, I think, young and even older.
Absolutely,
you know, there's no age restriction. It's just a matter of, like with anything, I think, popular arts, just being passionate about it. I have a buddy I work with here who, almost everybody here is very much into video games. And he's very nice about holding my hand and saying, you know, don't get frustrated, you know, just, you know, work the problem through. And okay, but I get frustrated very easily. But they look like they're a lot of fun. I wish I was more savvy, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we live in a culture now where the kids associate comic book characters for their video games and their movies more than the comic books.
Yeah, well, yeah. But I think, you know, it's funny when I first started with Comic-Con back in 1984 as a volunteer, you know, it was very different than it is now. It was just, you know, comics were just a completely print medium. It's changed a lot, you know, and Comic-Con has too, interactive multimedia, you know, video games, you know, any of a number of stuff. You go on the floor of WonderCon or Comic-Con and it's just, technology has really just exploded. And with that are some really cool, fun things for people to do. And they do, you know, and I feel sometimes like I'm a little bit of a dinosaur thinking, what is that?
You speak of dinosaur, like, and you mentioned video arcades. I grew up in video arcades as well.
Did
so
you
I,
really?
I know that very well. Okay. Yeah, my first console was an Atari 2600.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, yeah, so, yeah. I remember Pong. Now, granted, you know, that was even before my time, but I remember Pong.
Before your time, come on, David.
Well, it was a little bit before
it's our time. It's our time.
Well, yeah, okay, maybe it was our
time.
My game we didn't have one, but
for me, my game back then, besides Pong and Pac-Man, was Combat.
Oh yeah.
So we had to move the tanks and whatnot.
What was the one that was? It was basically the green lines of the tanks and
Oh, that was like pseudo 3D kind of thing.
Yeah. You know, but it was just line art, and I was actually good at that game.
Oh, okay.
And I really love that. I mean, it's very simple. I'm sure if, you know, kids look at it today, they'd be like, what the heck? But I really like that
one. You'll be glad to know that a lot of kids nowadays, they do like some of those retro games.
Do they really?
Yeah, because those are being resold again and whatnot. So, and a lot of them are kind of like fascinated. Like,
what
did my grandparents, what did my dad play back in the day? Kind of thing.
You know, it's probably like vinyl, right? I think, you know, I know a lot of music people are now saying, you know, they like vinyl. I can break out my records now. Yeah. But it's good to know that because maybe I will have one of my friends take me down and see if I can, you know, find some little retro games.
Yeah,
and,
retro,
you know,
is cool.
Yeah. And maybe I will be cool again.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, I was never cool. But maybe, you know, maybe I'll be able to fake my way through it.
All right. And just to let you know, my favorite panel of this weekend was the Jim Lee and Tom McFarlane panel. That was
pretty amazing, wasn't it? It was nice to see both of them just kind of speaking freely and enjoying each other. And I think we all as fans got to benefit from that. That was really, really a great panel.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. All right. Well, like I said, there's not much to really talk about or complain about with WonderCon because WonderCon's amazing. So, and there we go. There's our interview, David.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm glad that there's nothing really bad to chat about. And I always know that the show is coming to an end because we always meet on the last day of the show. So, thank you again, as always, and I look forward to seeing you in San Diego.
Absolutely.
Great. And then next year here.
Yeah. Let's keep this going.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay. We're here at the floor of WonderCon 2025, and I'm here with Joni Rosas.
Hello.
Hi. Joni may not remember this, but she was actually on this podcast years and years ago.
It was probably, was that? It was before COVID, that's for sure, right?
It was definitely before COVID, that's for sure.
All the good times.
So, welcome back.
Yes, thanks for having me.
For you listeners who don't know, Joni is a huge cosplay, and probably my favorite one.
Oh, thank you.
Not just because she's part Filipina, and that kind of helps a lot.
You know, we're a little biased. It's cool.
Sometimes biasing is biasing? Is that even a word?
Yes, it is now.
So, I have questions themed to the cosplays you have done.
Okay.
So, on Friday, you went as Rogue. And
yes.
Do you have a casting wish on who you would like to play as Rogue? Because Marvel is bringing them back to this big screen.
Oh, my goodness. That is a really great question. I honestly have no idea. There's so many. So, since COVID, there hasn't been like a lot of, you know, there's like these superstars, you know, back in my day, we had like Julia Roberts and you had Tom Cruise and you had all these celebrities that you just knew their name. And now I feel like I don't know anybody anymore.
Oh, that's fair.
Like the last person I remember being kind of like a superstar is Jennifer Lawrence. But that was
and she was Mystique.
Yeah, exactly. She was Mystique. But I love her personality. I would like someone to capture Rogue's sexy personality, but also like Southern drawl and just really cute but also very sexy. I think Rogue's one of the hottest X-Men. So
I think one of the thing here is that they're bringing Channing Tatum as Gambit, so if they're gonna have a Rogue, she's got to be kind of that age group and whatnot, unless they're doing whatever they're going to do.
Yeah, so. You know, if there's so many universes now and the crossovers, I'm like, just pick somebody good. We want big hair, okay? I want big Southern hair.
Okay.
Yes, the bigger the hair, the closer to God. And I want that in there.
Now, Saturday, you went as Vampirella.
Yes.
If there was ever a Vampirella movie, a new one that's coming out, who would you want to be as a director? And they casted you.
Oh, my God. Oh, if they casted me, I would need a lot of acting skills injected into my veins because I don't know one thing about acting. I can do voice acting. Voice acting's a thing. But I don't know how to move my face or my body to, like, make cameras happy. So I'd have to learn a lot from some acting
but
coaches.
But if that is a possibility, what director would you like to work for?
Oh, good golly. I have... Oof. Who directed The Monkey? I don't know who directed The Monkey, but if you've seen that movie...
Is it Monkey Man or The Monkey? Oh, The Monkey. Oh,
yes.
That guy.
So I would love a horror aspect to it, but right. I would also like it to be campy. Because if you look at Vampirella, she's very sexy, a little bit campy. She's from an era of camp. And I think it would fit really well if you had some gore, but also made it really fun. Because you can't really take a bikini wearing vampire seriously. So let's induce some fun in there.
There is truth in what you're saying there.
Yeah.
And today, Sunday, you're dressed as Rey.
Yes, Rey.
Now, I'm not sure if you're like me, but I believe in the Star Trek ideals of the future.
Absolutely.
But the toys of Star Wars are just too fun to play with.
They are. They are. They absolutely are. Because I think they have more fun, fluffy animals. We had Tribbles, right? That's cool. But like they have so many things. Wampas and what are those called? The little cats.
Those ones. Yes.
Lovecats. Yes. They have Ewoks. Those aren't really animals, but like, you know, they have so many things. Wookiees, just all their species are adorable and cuddly. And then you also have really cool action figures too. You have, you know, these droids, you have droids, you have stormtroopers, you have sand troopers, you have death troopers. Like, I love all the possibilities in Star Wars. It's such a huge universe, and it is. So this is my difference, right? You have Star Wars that is science fiction, but you have Star Trek that's science future.
You're right.
Because everything we've seen in Star Trek, most of what we've seen in Star Trek has become a reality. And that's a beautiful thing because I love Star Trek and I love the reality of Star Trek and how they treat other species, how we can kind of unify more. No matter your species, no matter your orientation, you know, there's room for you in this universe.
Yeah, speaking of Star Wars and their toys, they have a theme park. We're at the Anaheim Convention Center and we're across from Disneyland. I'm sure you've gone to Galaxy's Edge, right?
Yes. I actually have an annual pass. I don't even live here and I have an annual pass. Okay. I love Disney. So, yes, I'm always at Star Wars Land. I went for their Halloween nights.
Oh, okay.
Dressed as Rey, but it was like Dark Side Rey, and it was very fun.
Do they allow you to be in full costume for those kind of things?
Only Halloween, yeah.
Only Halloween. Yep. Oh, yep. That's a good trip.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'd probably get kicked out a lot. So.
Do you have a favorite ride in Disneyland?
Yes. It is Big Thunder Mountain. You have to ride in the back. You have to watch the goat. And you have to screen your lungs out because it is the most fun ride in the... It's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
It's the wildest ride in the wilderness, as they say. For me, it was Space Mountain. I say what?
Space Mountain is a very close...
Because I think Rise of the Resistance wins it for me.
Oh, my God. The room of AT-ATs, holy crap. It is such a fun ride. That one is one that's always on my list that, like, if the line is short enough, let's go. We got to go.
Now, going back to cosplay here, is there an anime character that you like to cosplay at in the future?
I would like to play Mikasa.
Which one?
Mikasa from Attack on Titan.
Oh, okay.
She's such a badass, and she's so strong, and I really like the uniforms. The uniforms and those blades that they have, like sword things, but I don't know how to travel with the blade sword things, so I've been kind of... slacking on making it.
I think that will kind of work, the kind of costume for you.
Yeah, it'd be cool and it'd be comfortable.
Yeah. And last question here is, what other cons are you going to?
We've got NoCo Con, I believe it's called. It's in New York, but it's a smaller con in New York that I've never been to. But I'm trying to reach new markets of people, meet new friends in different areas. So that's one. I'm always going to be at LA Comic Con, at least try. As long as they'll have me, I'll be there.
Okay.
And then I have one in Michigan as well, Motor City Comic Con. So those are my newest cons that I'm adding to my roster. I've never been there, and I hope to meet a lot of new people.
Nice. Well, there we go, folks. Joni Brosas. Make sure to check her out on the socials and Patreon at Joni Brosas.
Yes, Thank you so much.
Thank you for being on.
Yeah.
All right, we're back. You got two interviews there this time around. I haven't heard
really,
it yet,
that
it kind of worked out.
That was such great interviews. I was entertained immensely.
Hopefully it worked out. But yeah. All right, so here we are, WonderCon. Derek, thoughts?
Thoughts. Not as good as last year. Sorry, WonderCon. But I still had a good time.
Yeah, same here. I had a great time here because it's very casual, very relaxed. The way I describe it, it is Comic-Con from like late 90s, early 2000 era kind of feel, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
A lot more cosplays, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, WonderCon is definitely, I still say this one and New York are maybe the two best cosplay ones.
Really?
That's
a huge compliment for WonderCon, actually.
Yeah. It's just because
I thought Dragon Con had like it was the place for cosplay.
I've never been to Dragon Con. I can only comment on what I've been to.
Yeah,
but just that whole R.I.P. the fountain, but the whole fountain area and the whole outside area. There's so much places for the photographers to shoot and for people to do photo shoots that I think that's what's established this as a place for cosplayers, because they not only can they come and show off themselves individually and to fans, but they also can professionally get with other photographers and do professional shoots. And I think that helps them. So I think that's one reason why I bring so many. That's just my theory.
But speaking of cosplayers, the one thing I've noticed is that the most popular cosplay is Marvel Rivals. It's not just like people dressed as Marvel characters, but specifically the costumes from that game, Marvel Rivals, had no idea. Right?
Yeah, which I have no idea, so I just have to agree with you. Sure, Albert, yes.
The one cosplay that I expected to see that I did not see a single person wearing it is from the anime Solo Leveling, which you also have not seen. But Solo Leveling is...
You can explain to people why you thought that would happen.
Well, because Solo Leveling is the most popular anime right now in the internet.
Okay.
In fact, it just had its season finale. Like, literally yesterday, as of this recording, it had its season finale.
Do you think people just maybe didn't have time to make it?
I have no idea. Not only that, but there's no merchandise for it. There's no merchandise for the show on WonderCon except for one Tumblr. There was one Tumblr with Solo Leveling on it, and that's it.
I will say the only thing that I can say animation-wise is I'm very disappointed in the lack of Invincible people. I saw like two.
At least they had Invincible people.
I know, but I saw like two. That was it. I like no Omni-Mans, no none of the villains, like nothing.
I saw an Omni-Man, I saw Alan.
No.
Which guy?
The girl.
Girl? Oh, and Adam Eve?
Yeah.
I saw lots of Adam Eve.
I haven't seen one at all.
Okay, so it's just timing, I guess. Timing.
I guess.
Like the whole timing when you saw a guy or a girl dressed as a boo-boo. I wanted to get a picture of that, but I did not
see
that. Oh,
did he run away?
When I got out there, it was gone.
Oh, man.
Because Labubu was like a thing here at WonderCon. There's like a lot of Labubu merchandise and whatnot because they caught on that it's popular.
I thought with the season finale just happening for Invincible that there would be so many people dressed up for Invincible, but apparently not.
Oh, I'm saying there were a lot because I saw a bunch of them. So I guess it's timing. This is all timing.
I guess so.
The other thing I noticed too is Jurassic Park had a huge presence as cosplayers. And I was thinking, like, why? And then realized, oh, that's right. It's a movie coming out this year.
Apparently they had a booth here.
They had a booth here?
I don't know. Some guy was riding. He was riding, you know, the little inflatable dinosaurs they do. It was two guys and they had their little inflatable dinosaurs. They were riding. They're like, hey, guys, where's the Jurassic Park booth? I'm like, bro, I don't know.
I didn't know there was a Jurassic Park booth.
So I don't know if maybe he had incorrect information, but that's what they were asking me.
Yeah. Well, what have you noticed in terms of cosplays?
This is not helpful for the audience. A lot of stuff that I did not know. A lot of stuff that I just look at, I'm like, wow, that's really cool. No idea what it is. Like, I didn't see a lot of, like, you know, Spider-Man, Batman.
You didn't?
Well, I'm saying...
It's all timing, because I see nothing but those kind of things.
I'm saying in reference to previous years where I see, like, just a massive onslaught. Like, you know, there's some...
You didn't?
No.
I did, but...
Well, you were outside, I think, all day, I swear.
Not all day, okay. But a good chunk of my time was, like, taking cosplay. If you go to our Instagram, you'll go see all the pictures.
I will admit that I took less pictures of cosplay this year than I think I have in, like, 5 years. But that's because I was just inside a lot. So, going back to what you're saying, I did see a good amount of cosplay, but it was just a lot of stuff that, wow, that's just really cool. No idea who you are. And a lot of people I'd have to go to them, I don't know what you are. What is it? And they would tell me, and I'm like, oh, that's really cool. So
I have done that. I have done that when I ask, like, excuse me, but who are you supposed to be? You know, kind of thing.
So,
and then there are those I ask, like, and they go, no, I don't want a photo.
So I did see some really cool stuff, but I just didn't know what it was. But I didn't see a lot of the, like, I hardly saw any X-Men. Like,
what?
Yeah.
I did? Yeah. Wow. We're just in a totally different circus in the WonderCon.
I mean, like, well, like I said, if they're all outside, I wasn't outside much. So maybe if they were all outside, I don't know.
One thing of note, too, is I see a lot more Robins than I have seen Batman.
That we agree on, yeah. I've seen like four Robins.
Don't know why.
And I've seen like maybe two Batman.
Yeah, I have no idea what this is.
I don't know. You know, but people are trying to switch it up.
I guess. In terms of panels, my friend
most of those. I don't know what that. But I've seen that all over the place.
That is from. I know listeners, you get to see what you're looking at.
It's a video game. I know that.
Is it? It's like a Resident Evil soldier.
Something like that.
Something like. Or Call of
Duty. I've been seeing them all over, and it's not the same ones. It's different ones.
Yeah, but there's a panels. My favorite panel for sure is Jim Lee and Todd McFarlane. That was an amazing panel.
Well, considering I didn't go to many, but yes, that was my favorite as well. I think I went to two panels. That was it. So.
Okay. There was like a handful of panels that I went to. I was really not really doing a lot of panels this time around. Plus, there was a lot of counter programming.
For the audience, you had a good sized list. You just didn't make it to them.
Oh, okay, fair. Half of my list was just like occupied by me taking pictures of cosplays. But
no, what I'm saying, you made a list of you had a good wish list or whatever panels.
I did.
And then you just didn't go.
Yeah, unfortunately. And there was a lot of counter-programming where I would have gone to that panel, but it's the same time as the other panel and so forth.
It's ridiculous for me that it's just speaking of for fun, like I had only one press interview and it was at the same time as the Invincible panel, which I really would have wanted to go to. So like one of the only panels that I really wanted to go to and I couldn't go.
I went to that one.
Haha. Well, no, I'm glad you did because then you made me realize I didn't miss much. But
that was at the same time as the X-Men 97 panel. And I wanted to go to that one too. So it was like, they really, really made me choose this time around. But
the good thing is you were able to go investigate and say, hey, Derek, you didn't miss much. I'm like, all right, that's good.
Well, I mean, it was a fun experience watching those certain scenes, those really memorable scenes with a crowd. You know, there's always that kind of appeal.
Did you go to the Until Dawn one?
I went to the Until Dawn one as well. That was good. They showed a new clip that hasn't been shown yet. And the whole cast were fun to watch and listen to. So that was a good panel. I really liked that one too.
You excited about the movie then, or?
I'm more looking forward to it now than I was before.
Okay. Well, hey,
they did a job.
They did their job. Exactly.
Right. So we are the last day of WonderCon over here, and we're just kind of hanging out and just waiting till the show floor closes. Well, go ahead.
I just realized we kept what's the word?
No, I don't know.
Oh, I forgot the word. When you keep just talking, rambling. Anyways, we said how good the Jim Lee and Tom McFarlane panel is, and then we didn't say why. So they did a really good thing of like the two of them being up there, and they basically told their entire biographies while they were talking to an audience.
Not the entire one. Jim Lee wanted to talk about some kind of like, was it batting cage thing?
Oh, those are just stories, but I'm saying like,
I wanted to hear those stories.
I know, but I'm saying in the sense of like, they both talked about how their parents didn't approve of them collecting comics,
how
they got their start in the business, how they broke into the business. They're each individual stories, how they broke into the business, and then they're starting him on X-Men and McFarlane Spider-Man, then how they got up to Image. Like, they gave their entire, basically story of their professional careers to an audience in front of us, and you get to hear their professional story, not to an interviewer, not to a podcast, to us. So it was really great for them to sit down they weren't sitting, they were standing actually.
The whole hour or whatever.
But like they were basically giving us their life stories to each other, and we were like the audience witnessing the story. So I loved it. It was great.
I got like a couple of minutes of video for the panel, but if this panel happens to show up on YouTube, go watch it, folks, especially if you know who they are. Because there was
like five people filming it, so it's got to be up.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Because I mean, our friend Kenny went with us. Thing and he's not really into comic books as much. He doesn't know who they are.
Shout out to Kenny.
He was not snoring. He was just asleep. Okay?
Yeah, but if I don't snore, the audience won't know what I'm talking about.
You can just say it happened.
Nah, it's funner to snore.
Yeah. So it's not for everybody.
It was so entertaining to Kenny.
Yeah, but for those of us who grew up in comic books and know who these people are, it was an amazing battle. Absolutely.
Guys, it's okay. It was Kenny's first WonderCon. He was tired.
And he loved it, by the way. He said that he enjoyed it. He'll probably come back next year.
That's the most important part, is he enjoyed himself.
Yeah, yeah. But
and I enjoyed seeing him.
Yeah, so for all in all, this is a nice WonderCon. I mean, it's not the most explosive and most viral WonderCon, I would say. And I don't think anybody will argue with that, because the studios there, the presses are not as well-known anymore going to WonderCons and conventions in general.
Yeah, I'll throw my, because we're still going here. I'll throw my disappointment in the sense of like, dude, last year they had Resident Alien, which is a, for not to insult anyone necessarily, but it was a legitimate show on Sci-Fi and now on Netflix and stuff. It's like a legitimate show. And then they had the Strangers movie, which is, I think it was Lionsgate?
Sure.
I think. I can't remember what company. But anyways, it was a legitimate film company. So, like, they brought stuff. And granted, you know, Until Dawn was from, I think, Sony. And The Hunting Party was from Peacock. Yeah. But I just feel like they brought better geek-centric stuff last year.
But when you say they, you can't actually be meaning WonderCon. Because it's actually the studios that come over here.
I'm not saying they're in control. But I'm saying they as in putting on this production. You know, yeah. I'm not saying they're in control. They can't make them bring stuff. But I'm just saying, well, as a whole, for describing the show, you know, I have to give it a they. Because how else are you going
to
say it?
Oh, well, then on a similar topic here, I go to the talkback, the WonderCon talkback. And yes. WonderCon talkback usually is... There's no real drama compared to Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing really much to complain about. But, I mean, there was talk
except
about...
Except the fountain was down.
Fountain was down. I mentioned that.
Did anyone say anything?
No, not for that one. But they did mention about the elevators at the Hilton. There was that one.
That's what they bitched about?
Well, because apparently it was not working.
I know, but how are they even in control of it? Isn't that the Hilton's problem?
Well, that's the thing. A lot of the complaints at TalkBack had more ACC-related stuff than WonderCon-related stuff. But... somebody did bring up the whole, like, oh, what happened to the studios and whatnot. And they said, like, hey, we keep in contact with the studios. It's up to them if they want to show up or not.
Yeah.
You know, like, it really just comes down to that.
No, that's the thing. I know it's not up to them, but it's like, this was one step at least above 2022, I believe it was, or 2020. The year that, like, nothing came. They only had, like...
it's like a few years after COVID. Well, there you go, folks.
Hopefully you heard that.
We hear that. They're just... WonderCon is officially over as of this recording. And on that note, this is the end of the podcast, then. Jarek, unless you have anything else to say.
Oh, I will just say that I still had a good time. I honestly, though, will hope for it to maybe be a little bit better next year, because I had a really, really great time last year, and I was hoping that maybe it was going to carry over into this year. And, you know, it didn't, but I for what it's worth, I still had a good time, but I'm going to hope for better next year.
Yeah, I think it'll only get better because of the fact that, you know, studios are finally getting into the groove of what their release dates are, and maybe they'll have more for press. Well, go on.
I'll say, at least it didn't rain. Well, that was a big
plus. You say that, but it drizzled this morning.
Drizzle doesn't count as rain. It was it was raining cats, dogs, and mice last year, man. It was like a river in lake out in Anaheim last year. So, yeah, at least we didn't have that.
I have no idea.
What is that?
I have no idea
is
what
to say. Is that a foreign language?
It sounds like a foreign language. But so I think they're making another announcement that, hey, WonderCon's over, get out of here.
Yeah.
In another language. But so yeah, we're going to wrap up this podcast. Derek, where can people find you online?
Oh, I am on the social media as The Geek Potato, and then also my podcast, The Geekdom Fancast, which needs to be revived so badly, but it's still got a library of 200 plus episodes that you can go listen to. So yeah, please follow Geekdom Fancast on social media as well.
Yeah, and this is Albert.
And Albert, thank you for having me on.
Oh no, of course. And this is Albert. You can find me on Instagram and Letterboxd at Albert5x5. Music has been provided by Gloomy June. All infos, contact infos, and all that stuff can be found at whowhatworstwhy.com. Is there anything else I'm supposed to pay? Oh, that's it. And this was episode 858, I think it is, of the Stuff and Junk Show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this podcast has been a Who What Worst Wide production. And scene.
I forgot to stop by Critical Entertainment. Oh, my
God. Oh, where's that at?
It's over there.
Do you have time? I mean...
maybe. Let's see how fast they throw us out.
All right. I don't see anybody, like, kicking us out, really,
I know,
but...
I feel bad. I always stop by them, and I totally forgot.
Go, go, go.
I know. Well, I gotta find their booth number.
Okay.
I don't want to, like, aimlessly look when I only have a couple minutes left. I should probably turn this off.